Thank you. What a wonderful, wonderful weekend for sports. The weather was perfect. It was definitely the right time to get outside and enjoy some of the many, many activities that are happening related to UNC.
What do you make of Tar Heel football? They definitely bounced back from that one loss, and now they've got a winning streak going. Mitch Trubisky back on track if he was ever off of it in the first place. Looking good for the rest of the year.
Well, there's no doubt I had the opportunity to take my emerging leader with the Global Sports Mentoring Program. It's a partnership between the State Department and ESPNW, Pam Akplogan. I took her up to UVA to see the beautiful school. Did not surprise me that the Tar Heels came out very strong. I was very moved with Bug Howard wearing Mac Collins number 13.
Yep.
But definitely UNC knew that they were going to be able to score against Virginia. The key was, how did Gene Chizik's defense improve? And they definitely silenced the Charlottesville crowd.
And I know you're kind of two minds about this game, being a Virginia fan yourself. So how was it for you?
Well, yes, I did play at UVA, played basketball there. But as my friends tell me, my Wahoo friends, they tell me you have to go where your paycheck is. So I just feel that it's important every time they play that I give respect to both teams and, of course, remember that I win regardless.
Absolutely. Well, speaking with Dr. Deb Stroman, again, sports commentator, Keenan Flagler Business School professor, let's actually talk about a player for the Tar Heels that has not gotten in any way a whole lot of press this year, but really stepped up in that game on Saturday, and that's Tommy Hatton, freshman offensive lineman, started for Caleb Peterson, and just won ACC Offensive Lineman of the Week honors for leading the O-line there, and they had a great game.
Well, that definitely brings a lot of smiles to your coaching staff when you can have a young player show up and play so well early, because you already know that you're going to have strong senior leadership by the time the young man gets to his third and fourth year. But as you mentioned, Mitch Trubisky, his play is really predicated on the offensive line. There's no one out there who understands football who will disregard the importance of what goes on in the trenches. And the offensive line is key, whether it's pass protection, whether it's run blocking. It's really critical. And to have that young man step up and play so well and be noticed by the press and noticed by other teams, that's a big win for North Carolina. I know Elijah Hood is definitely smiling with his play.
And I know we've got a bye week coming up, and then really getting into the end of the regular season in November. We're looking at potentially a 10-2 record, at least it's shaping out that way on paper, with some slightly easier games coming up in November. At least you'd think there would be easier games than what we've dealt with in the past 4-6 weeks. What do you think the odds are that Carolina winds up 10-2?
Well, they're very, very strong. The one thing about a few of these games, though, is they're rivalry games. Mm-hmm. So officially you have to throw out the records. But what I like that's in favor of North Carolina is momentum. They've already been challenged. They've proven that they can play in a big, big game when they opened up the season against Georgia. And then we know that weather does not work well with North Carolina in terms of the passing game. But now we've had two games, Virginia Tech and down at Miami, where we've learned that there's a different style, different rhythm. You have to really come out focused when the weather is inclement. So there's no doubt that I think North Carolina can come through and win all of these games. Georgia Tech is not as strong as they have been in the past. I think Carolina would love to just take it to Duke and run up the score if possible. But Duke won at Notre Dame, so we know it's going to be competitive. And of course, we definitely know that NC State is a game that we have to win. We can do a lot of things around the ACC, but that rivalry game with the NC State is important.
And you mentioned Duke going up and beating Notre Dame. NC State didn't get the win over Clemson, but man, they came close.
Right, and so they will be fired up to beat Chapel Hill, to upset Chapel Hill if we are making the run for the Coastal Championship. So we definitely can't make that an automatic W, but I know a lot of the guys on the team really want to get back at NC State for what they've been doing over the past few years to our football team.
Speaking with Dr. Deb Stroman again, sports commentator, Keenan Flagler Business School professor. So let's move up a level to the pros, because a couple of developments happening in professional sports, starting with Major League Baseball, where one way or the other, we're going to have an historic World Series. We got the Cubs on the one side, the Indians on the other. Cubs haven't made the World Series since 45. They haven't won since 1908. Indians haven't made the World Series in almost 20 years, which pales in comparison to the Cubs, but they haven't won since 1948 either. So one way or the other, the vast majority of baseball fans are going to see a team win the World Series that they have never seen win the World Series before, and that's exciting.
Well, there is no doubt that Major League Baseball is very, very happy that these teams made it to the finals. Talking about star power, now both teams don't have a lot of stars that we regularly know, you know, just like, you know, a Michael Jordan or a Tom Brady, but it's a very compelling storyline. You have two major cities, Cleveland and Chicago, that are just aching and dying for this national title with baseball. And it's interesting watching the viral news and Hillary Clinton. She was caught on camera. She is a lifelong Cubs fan. She was actually raised outside of Chicago in a suburb called Park Ridge. Mm-hmm. And she was watching the highlights from her phone. And then when they won, when they beat the Dodgers, she was just so happy, and someone captured that picture. So to think that, again, here you have someone who's trying to win the presidency, but yet they are captured just being so elated around the power of sport and how it can motivate you. Another side that we want to mention is this is also a time period where there's no doubt that LeBron James has Cleveland fired up. They've got the magic going in the city, but it's also going to be potentially the most controversial series because Cleveland has the very offensive image of Chief Wahoo. And this is drawing lots of attention. There was already a ruling by a Canadian judge. There was a Native American activist that was trying to bar the Cleveland team from using that name, Indians, and logo. The judge denied the request, but now that just brought more attention to this logo. And, of course, many people would say it's not as offensive as the Washington Redskins, but the protests go back all the way to the 1970s. People compare it to the Black Sambo and caricatures of Nazis using to dehumanize Jews. So it's going to be very interesting to watch what happens and where the, I guess you could say, the undecideds go. Like, will I not cheer for Cleveland because of the offensive image, or whether or not they say, hey, it's just baseball, and I'm just going to move beyond that.
I got to say, I'm cheering for the Cubs because I root for tradition and history. And when it comes to the Indians, typically I would want them to win the World Series because it's been 60 plus years. But in this World Series, it's like 60 plus years is chump change compared to the Cubs.
Well, there's no doubt. And it's also fascinating that Joe Maddon, just one of the best coaches in all of sport, and then going against Terry Francona. But Joe Maddon has definitely sprinkled his magic on this team. I would be happy to see the Cubs win as well. As much as I love Cleveland and what LeBron is doing, I think it would really, really make a lot of people happy across America. It's going to be interesting, though. Joe West was named the crew chief, the head umpire, mm-hmm. and Joe West has had some battles with both Francona and Maddon. So it's going to be interesting to see if this personality comes out and he tries to take the center stage, but just have the opportunity to showcase himself. A lot of people say that Joe West, the umpire, has a lot of ego. So a lot of interesting storylines.
Yeah, I was going to say, and like Joe West has had run-ins with Joe Maddon and Terry Francona. Is there a manager that he has not had a run-in with at any point in his career? That's his right?
No, you're exactly right. People, when you think about some of these other sports, we don't necessarily have the ability to drop names on who's a referee in some of the other sports. But Joe West, nicknamed Cowboy, he definitely is going to be looked at and scrutinized for his calls and whether or not he tries to control the game and not being a coach.
I was speaking with Dr. Deb Strom at UNC Keenan Flagler Business School, and I got to talk about the off-field news and developments with the World Series that's coming up in just a couple days. They just got a report from Yahoo Sports. SeatGeek is a website that did that took a look at the average resale price for each World Series game. And looking at previous World Series, the last few years, average price for a ticket is $886 for last year, $878 for the year before. Go back to the $700s, $600s, and years before that. This year, if you want to see a game in Cleveland, you're going to be paying about $1,200. If you're going to a game in Chicago in Wrigley Field, you're going to pay something like $4,000, which is astronomical for a World Series, for even for a World Series game, but it makes sense with these two teams.
Well, this is the commercialization of sport. So we talk about it for the college, and for the college industry, and we say that this is getting scary, it's out of control, we need to manage it better. But we also see the proliferation in terms of professional sports as well. And there's a phrase that's been coined by young people. They call people who attend these type of games, we call them suits, as in they're all wearing corporate suits. They come right from work, make a beeline to the arena or to the stadium, and they enjoy the game, the competition. Whereas you don't see a lot of blue-collar, young people, people who are just middle-class America going to games. It's just filled with suits because corporations are the only ones who can afford these tickets. And so when you talk about a $4,000 ticket, unless you see them around the bowl, you know, in great seating, individuals, high net worth individuals, more than likely it's going to be a corporation that's purchased a book of tickets, spending anywhere from $10,000 to $100,000, and then they invite their external partners or maybe some executives or someone they're trying to, you know, have a partnership with. But this is definitely not for your average American that just wants to go watch their favorite team. They'll be up in the nosebleed seat, so to speak.
If even that, right? I think the most excitement, if you want the real Cubs fans to get a sense of where they're going to be, go to Addison Street and just like stand out in front of the stadium, and that's where the real Cubs fans are going to be, right?
That's right. And of course, we know the power of sport to engage people, bring people together. So I know Chicago and Cleveland, the vendors, the business owners are very excited because there's going to be so many parties, ways to spend money, the hotels, the transportation, all your Uber drivers, the food, the pizza, the chicken wings, everything. It's just going to be a great time for these cities. And as we know, many Chicagoans and Clevelanders have traveled and migrated to other parts of the country. So I wouldn't be surprised if there's a party in Chapel Hill for the Cubs fans or the Cleveland fans.
I have no doubt. I will have to say, we got to move on to one more topic before we let you go, but I got to say that I saw that picture that you mentioned that of Hillary Clinton getting the news for the first time and just the ecstatic look on her face. And I have to say, for as negative a year as 2016 has been, politically speaking, I'm going to hold on to the two moments of just sheer ecstatic glee on Hillary Clinton's face, and it was when the Cubs made it to the World Series and at the DNC when a whole bunch of balloons came down from the ceiling. So at least she's got her priorities straight.
That's right, and they were great, great photos. It was just sheer joy. It was a great shot. Kudos to the photographer who captured that. But again, it's just the epitome of how sport touches us. It just raises our levels of happiness, you know, when our teams win. And, of course, it can just punch us in the stomach when they lose. I won't mention my Vikings this weekend, but it's just a great, great I guess you could say, activity for us all to participate in.
They're still in first place. It's all right. Talking with Deb Stroman, Keenan Flagler Business School. And before we let you go, say a little bit about the other big development in professional sports today, which is the NBA reaching a collective bargaining agreement, or at least getting close to it, right, with the players. And that's going to carry the league through the next 7 or 8 years, I think.
Yes. This is really big because many people in the basketball world were concerned. They remember the pains of when the NBA shuts down due to labor negotiations. But to knock this out early, it's looking like the NBA is saying, we love our uptick. We love the way that we are capturing, and I don't think it'll be a while before they make a dent with the NFL marketing and the way the NFL has just captured the minds and the hearts of American sport fans. But the NBA securing this negotiation, a few key points. They had a rule called 36 and over that prohibited some of the older players, as in over the age of 36, from signing a 5-year maximum contract deal. And so they're going to push that to 38, and that's really being driven by the older superstars like Chris Paul, LeBron James, and Carmelo Anthony. Another thing to note is that basketball-related income, which is basically all the money that's derived outside of the salary, everything from ticket receipts, broadcast rights, that will continue to be a positive for players. They currently receive somewhere between 49 to 51% of that. Also want to mention that the salaries are going to increase for the rookies, for the vet minimum, and then free agent exceptions, so that's a positive. And then lastly, there was talk about this one-and-done rule with college basketball. What could we do? Are they going to go ahead and make it so that college players have to wait 2 years? That was voted down. Excuse me, waiting 2 years after high school graduation. Mm-hmm. That was voted down. So it looks like the NBA and the owners and the players are negotiating well, and it's going to work out, and so we won't have any type of skip during the NBA season's upcoming.
And the one-and-done system continues for at least another 7 years?
Yes. Yes.
All right. All right. So all of that and more happening just in the last couple of days. Deb Stroman, UNC Kenan Flagler Business School, thank you so much.
Thank you.